Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Is B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan. We are also live on the Monumental Sports Network. He is Lynnell Willingham. I am Denton Day. The fellas are out. They are en route back stateside, coming from Spain. So they'll be back tomorrow, fighting off some jet lag, I'm sure. I'm excited to hear about their trip. A lot of people went to Spain. It looked very nice.
Yeah, people are crazy.
Did I miss how expensive tickets were to Spain? Because, like, a lot of people went to Spain.
This is what you call, I bought the tickets as soon as they were announced back in the summer when I thought the team would be good.
That checks out.
That's what that's called.
That checks out. We are opening phone lines, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Who are you pointing the finger at for yesterday's loss, the sixth in a row for the Commanders? Let's start with our guy Drew on line one. Drew, what's up, man?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. The anger 3 games ago was pretty heavy. I would say at this point I'm more continue to lose and get us the best draft pick possible for either us to trade out of, because we've got our franchise quarterback, and get draft capital. But my anger for yesterday's game was more toward Adam Peters than really anybody else. And it's just a frustration of the lack of focus on trying to put as many good and talented players around Jaden while we have him on a rookie contract. Because we only get this chance once before Jaden becomes one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, if not the highest. And the fact that you look at our running back room and our wide receiver room, and frankly our defense in general, and you went with those pieces to start the season is what I'm frustrated with. Obviously injuries are injuries, and at this point we're playing with guys that are coming off the street or coming off the practice squad, so that's why the frustration is down. But you know, the wide receiver room was a joke. I mean, we probably have one of the worst wide receiver groups in the NFL, and yet we have one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. And you look at a guy like Caleb Williams or Bo Nix, who are having success, but they also have a lot of really, really good talented guys around them. And you see what Adam went with this year with wide receivers, especially, is just frustrating. You can't be too mad at Coach Quinn at this point. I mean, he's got no one to play. We already lost another guy yesterday, so just keep losing, and let's get the best draft pick that we can possibly get. Thanks for taking my
Drew,
call.
Appreciate it, Drew.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the 2024 draft class as a whole. I mean, Jaden by far has the worst supporting cast. I mean, not even comparable to anybody else's. So, yeah, that is something that has got to be top of the mind coming up in the offseason. I also feel like, you know, just the plan, you know, and I guess this is what the last caller was referring to. When you watch them lose 6 in a row, and I know we're dealing with the injury situation, but it just makes you question the overall plan for this year. And I keep using the analogy of, like, insurance. You knew that Deebo Samuel is a guy that struggles to play 17 games. You knew Noah Brown was a guy that struggled to play 17 games. You should have quality insurance behind those guys. Blue Cross Blue Shield, Kaiser Permanente. You ended up with Aetna and Medicaid at wide receiver in terms of insurance. It's not very good. It's god-awful.
Not great. No, they did it to themselves. Because you're right. You have the, for a group that focuses on analytics, the big analytic is there should be availability, and you have two wide receivers that have not been readily available, and then your one that was readily available did not practice.
And it's a big picture conversation, too, because I can't help but watch, you know, Keenan Allen with the Chargers make plays. I can't help but watch Josh Sweat, you know, record his 10th sack this past weekend for the Arizona Cardinals. Like, their lack of aggression in trying to go out and acquire marquee talent. And I thought at the end of season presser last year, their big motto was just, we're just trying to put the best players on the team as possible. We're just trying to field the best roster possible. I don't think you are.
If you are, you are not doing a very good job of it. I am going to, if we go through this offseason, this upcoming offseason, for the third year in a row, going the mercenary route. We are just signing a bunch of dudes that are kind of washed to one-year deals, hoping that you'll be able to get something out of them. I'm going to get kicked off the air for violating the FCC too many times. Like, it's going to drive me absolutely up a wall. It was a bad idea to do it this offseason. The first offseason made sense. You were new here. You're trying to establish something, and you didn't have you had slim pickings. But in this offseason this past year, where people wanted to play, remember we got all those notifications, all these reports, hey, everybody wants to play in Washington, to still take that route was embarrassing. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Who are you pointing the finger at for yesterday's loss? Rick is in Northeast. Rick, what's going on?
Hey, man, good. I'm not pointing the blame, but I could point the blame at the general management, the way they messed up, the way they handled Terry McLaurin. They let him hold out too long. That's how he got the injury. And they didn't sign back the key players that they needed to sign back. They had depth at wide receiver. They let them all walk. They let Denami Brown go. Zacchaeus. I mean, you had quality depth at the wide receiver positions. And they didn't draft enough depth at those positions as well. So, and then we had a lot of injuries. So I'm not really too bad on the season. I mean, you know, we just need to look to the future, build up on the drafts, and sign some key free agencies. And let Sam Hartman get in since the season is basically over.
Okay. Rick,
we appreciate the call.
Talk about just blowing your credibility as a caller? Something like that. I mean,
I
just
need
totally
to see Sam Hartman.
What are we doing here?
If you want to see him in like a modeling ad.
He just got his first deal.
Like Gap.
He literally just signed his first deal. I don't know who it's with.
Maybe a nice Zara picture at Tyson's. Yeah, we can do something. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see Sam Hartman on the football field.
I honestly would love to know what it's like to be so handsome that you have a job on an NFL roster.
You're super handsome, and you're clearly a great friend.
Jaden must literally love you.
I mean, you are like the best friend that a guy could ask for. There was one thing that I wanted to point out in his call that I would like to end. Like, stop. Dunzo. Deami Brown is not playing well in Jacksonville. That's a win for the Adam Peters group, all right? Like, he is not playing well. The guy has 19 catches.
I don't know if I'm calling it a win.
I'm calling that a win. I didn't need Deami Brown on this roster. You saw what you saw from him in the postseason, which was awesome. But we had a lot more data points.
My thing is
about how good he was or was not, which was more of the was not situation.
My thing is, it didn't cost you anything to bring him back. He signed a $9.5 million guaranteed contract. It's not like he broke the bank and got 15. You know,
we don't know if he was asking them for that money or if he just went to Jacksonville for that money because no one gave him the money that he wanted. And he'd already burned the bridge here. Because remember, like, Dante Fowler did that too. Remember, the Twitter fingers were very active.
There were other things. Like, Deami was a really good blocker last year when he was here. Last year was the best year of his career for more reasons than the receiver production, in my opinion. I just thought a guy that had this label of being kind of soft showed some toughness.
I'm okay with him not being on the roster.
The Zacchaeus one really blows me because he signed for $4 million.
Zacchaeus was the conversation I'd be willing to have.
And he seemed like he was a part of the culture.
I would have brought back Oz. My boy Oz. I would have brought back Oz. Why did Cliff not take a note to Adam Peters and say, bring back Oz? He did the I want Connolly at 29 bit from draft day. Can we get like a free agency day where he goes and says, I want Oz? I would have gladly taken Zacchaeus. Mark is in Burke. Mark, what's going on?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just sort of recovering from that debacle yesterday. My blame pie is going to sort of reflect what I think is complimentary football, man. Complimentary doesn't mean good necessarily. It can mean just everything sort of at the same level. And I thought all levels were equally useless. 30% of my blame pie, though, will go to Matt Gay. He's been terrible all year. I don't know how he holds his head up in the locker room doing the job that he's doing and you know, basically stealing money from the team.
I think we have some sound from Matt Gay, too. I would love to let you all hear because he was brilliant in the locker room.
Yeah, we'll play that coming up here.
Well, yeah, he stinks. He's useless as pockets on underwear. So I'd love to see him just get sacrificed.
That's a good bit. Because why do you need pockets on your drawers? I totally get it.
Then another 30% for me is going to go to coaching. I don't know how many opportunities we have to have in the red zone in order to score. Also, it was all fun and games last year when we were going for it on fourth down all the time and getting it. But this time we just need points. Like, we just need something. Yeah. Now, granted, your kicker's miserable, so that probably factors in. But we were in the red zone a bunch of times and came away with zip. So something's got to happen. I get that we have injuries, but there has to be a way to score. And then 40%, I'm just going to put on kind of the rest of the roster. After we scored, we stopped playing. It was weird. We had the first lead we've had in 5 weeks, which is almost impossible to believe, over Miami. And we just folded. Like, it was almost as though all the motivation went to Miami. We had none. And we just sort of got pinned back, and it was miserable. I mean, it was really awful to watch. But all in all, we had more chances to win that game than J.P. Finley has jobs. We should have won that game. I don't think there's another winning game on our schedule, except maybe the Giants. But I don't know, man. That was pathetic.
Tyrone Tracy would run for 150 yards.
Could you imagine the potential of, like, a Josh Johnson versus Jameis Winston in that final game with the Giants, if things are just, like, super sideways?
Seriously.
That doesn't get you sliced up?
No.
No?
No,
doesn't. No. I could get you there.
Did you think DQ called a good game yesterday?
Defensively, yes. He still blows timeouts way too frequently.
We act like they don't matter.
Yeah. Like, it really would have been nice to have one of those in the late stages of the game. I honestly thought they should have let Achane score with 2:29 to play.
Yeah.
And they didn't. We'll get into that coming up later because the whole way that 2 minutes or that 3 minutes was called was something that I very much disagreed with in a lot of different ways.
On both sides.
So we'll get into that. I thought Dan Quinn was fine. He was the least of my issues with the stuff yesterday. It's not even like I had a bunch of big issues yesterday.
I didn't either.
It was the most boring game.
Yeah, I wish I would have rather them gotten blown out, to be honest.
Like, nobody sucked. Nobody had, like, I mean, the yeah. Mikey Sanders still muff thing was bad, but you still had a chance to win, and then your kicker.
Can I be honest?
Screwed it up.
Part of my blame pie goes to Bobby Wagner for just being unable to move. There are so many runs that hit to the perimeter and to the outside because he can't scrape over the top. He's picking the wrong gap. I said it earlier in the show. It frustrates me because, like, this is a gold jacket guy that they're playing far too often, and he looks bad. So maybe blame pie to the coaches for not playing Jordan McGee more. Like, Ken Norton, love you, brother. You got a hell of a strut. Play Jordan McGee. I don't, for the life of me, understand it.
I don't either. I need to see more Jordan McGee. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Who are you blaming for yesterday's loss? Steve is in Arlington. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Good, Steve.
Hey, I got a couple things. Just trying to think outside the box, okay? So one of them is conditioning. I don't care what anyone says. The overall feeling of this team is the conditioning and the preparation and regarding that just seems like it's fallen off. I mean, I point back to the Cowboys years ago, right, when they were strong is when they had the conditioning coach. And the one thing that seems like it's similar is we've had the same conditioning and coach for the last 15 years, I think, 15 or 16 years. Going along with that, I would say practice. Now, I'm an old guy, right? But I remember, I think, 40 years ago, 45 years ago even, John Riggins would be the only guy that would have off Mondays and Tuesdays or Tuesdays and Wednesdays because he couldn't even walk right after the games over the weekend. And I don't know in the context of other teams, but you know, the fact that they don't start practice really until some level Wednesdays or Thursdays, all of the things I think that you guys are bringing up and everybody brings up is repetitions and preparation leads to confidence, right? I don't see a lot of that in the end game. I don't see – the end game has been atrocious. I wonder what school of coaching they have all gone to. I mean, I've never coached football, but I've played it, and I'm a coach for basketball and baseball and stuff like that. It just seems like we're ill-prepared. And I'll point out one other thing, and I know I've hit on a bunch of things here, but I just want to give you guys some stuff that I'm thinking about. So Jaden Daniels, his injury, all right? I see his injury and I go, yep, it's a fluke injury. But at his level, putting his arm out, his left arm out, when he's getting spun tackled like that, to me is just something I would expect to see in high school, right? I mean, and so part of that is preparation.
I mean, come on.
We appreciate it. You're getting off the beat.
You can't blame the kid for putting his arm out. He didn't want to get his head slapped against the turf. But there is something that Jamie Erdahl mentioned during the broadcast that I do want to get to. She gave an update on the status of Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin, and the word was optimistic is how the team feels. Jaden's running, Jaden's throwing, so we may see him sooner rather than later. And I know that's been a big topic.
If the team is optimistic, that could have been the reason why the NFL made a decision 15 minutes ago that drastically impacts the Commanders. We'll share that with you when we get back. We'll continue to take some of your phone calls at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. It's B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Day and Lynette Willingham sitting in for the fellows. We are presented by Chenega Miles on a Misery Monday, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on Monumental Sports Network as well. Denton Day and Lynette Willingham sitting in for the fellas as they make the journey back stateside from the great country of Spain. We're taking your calls, 800-636-1067. Before we get back to the phones, Lynette, as we just heard in Byron Kerr's update, the Commanders not being flexed out of the primetime matchup with Denver following the bye week this weekend, so they will play Sunday Night Football, an 8:20 kick against Bo Nix in a game that, my opinion, is the NFL is hoping Jaden Daniels is going to play in.
I'm hoping Jaden Daniels plays in the game, so the NFL is not alone. Jamie Erdahl yesterday during the broadcast had a report saying that the team was optimistic that both McLaurin and Jaden would play again this season. Terry was there, practiced during the week. Not practice, but worked on a side field with a trainer. And then Dan Quinn was sent video during the week of Jaden running and doing some throwing. So he is closer than what people may think. The injury, I know it looked gruesome. The injury was not. It's an elbow dislocation. I'll put it this way.
It was way better than it looked.
If they were in playoff contention, he would have played this week.
Yes, I agree.
Kurt Warner had the same injury, played the very next game. He just would have to wear this big, non-swaggy brace. And we know how Jaden feels about braces.
Yeah, he doesn't love braces. Kurt Warner, big fan, Jaden Daniels, I've been told.
Yeah, huge fan.
800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We are taking your calls. Assessing some blame for Washington's sixth consecutive loss, this one at the hands of the Dolphins. Steve is in Landover. Steve, what's going on?
What's up, Steve?
I'm hoping Jake Daniels plays the game.
Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up? Steve? You're on the air.
I blame the kicker, man. The game was on the line. He should have made the kick. Blank and silver. That's it.
Are you all right? Hold on. Damn. I was about to say, I wanted to ask some questions for Steve. He sounded like he was in like an underground bunker.
Well, he sounded like he was listening to us.
Was he all right? Well,
I was hearing him and
if
you.
If that's what he was doing in his final hours of freedom.
I don't know that he was kidnapped.
He sounded like it. Did you? I blame the kicker.
If you're kidnapped. That's. And you're making the one phone call you got to us.
You're a junkie.
To complain about Matt Gay missing a field goal.
Word to 6 to 10 a.m.
I mean, you are a legit sicko for this. And they said the fan base was dying.
Yeah.
But wow. Steve is saying, I'm so mad at Matt Gay putting this team to 3-8. I'm going to call Denton and Linnell with my one phone call.
Did I get?
As I'm kidnapped in a bunker. Alex is in Leesburg. Alex, what's going on?
What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I got to cut two things, right? One of the things is that we obviously kept the wrong players. I agree with both of y'all. We let Fowler go and Chin. Those guys were very important to our defense last year. And then the second part is, how do you put Mikey back there after he missed literally a wide-open interception that you can consider a punt return? How do you decide that that's who you're going to put back there? And you can say you're trying to protect Deebo all you want, but – You needed to feel that catch. I mean, I would have told Deebo, hey, man, if you have no space, fair catch it, and we go out right back. Thanks for taking my call. That's my feedback.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of frustration. Mikey is the backup punt returner. That just is what it is. He returns punts in practice. He's something he works on. So it's not like in the moment I was frustrated. I was like, well, why is he even out there? They're not. I know they may come off as ill-prepared. At times, they're not that ill-prepared. They have a backup for everybody. Now, we saw Chase Edmonds yesterday returning kicks. I didn't even know he was on the roster.
I didn't know he was on the roster either.
So
They just threw him back there.
Yeah.
And he was good. I would say I think it's fun to like look at the Mikey interception thing and be like, well, he dropped that, so why would you think he's going to drop a punt? Those are very different plays.
Yeah. He should have caught the pick, though.
He should have caught the pick. I mean, it went right through his hands and hit him right in the face mask. Yeah. I am a firm believer that something with the lights was weird. Because if you think about this from a soccer stadium standpoint, the ball is rarely traveling up in the air to the angles and to the heights that it does in the NFL, particularly in a punt. So I think the lighting situation was weird because you don't normally have the lights in the same position. I think that might have attributed to the punt thing. Maybe the interception thing as well. I don't know. But I think the punt thing was more about the lights being weird.
Either way, I mean, he can't catch a break, dude. I mean,
it's been a tough year. It's been a really tough year. Jamal is in Bowie. Jamal, what's up, man?
What's up, Ma?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Good morning.
Good morning.
So I blame Adam Peters for this whole season. If we're looking back at last season where we were trying to trade for a cornerback and we traded for Marshon Lattimore, the trade, okay, you're trying to get a player that's elite, but then he doesn't get on the field for 4 or 5 weeks. So we wasted draft picks for a player that's already injured that didn't contribute right away. Next, in this offseason, we drafted a left tackle to play right tackle when we already have a starting left tackle in Laremy Tunsil. And then I blame Adam Peters for not upgrading the receiver room. We traded for Deebo Samuels. He's a Swiss Army knife, but we got rid of Zacchaeus, we got rid of Deami, and then we wasted a fourth-round pick on a punt returner. A punt returner. When we could have got at least – we could have got Horton that's in Seattle. And, I mean, you saw what Horton did with us with Seattle. He had 2 receiving touchdowns. And then Adam Peters just building an old roster, man. Like what is going on, dog? We didn't sell in the trade deadline. We don't have no depth at any position.
I can't help but laugh.
I take it back to that Patriots preseason game. when we got 50 put up on us. But Adam Peters didn't think, oh, maybe this is a depth situation. Maybe I need to go ahead and upgrade this roster. No, he said, this roster is fine. Let's go out with the regular season with this roster. Like, come on, man. I'm sorry. I'm 29 years old. I've been watching this team for years, man. I had season tickets. Like, it's frustrating. But for yesterday, I blame the coaching, man. Like, we don't put the right players on the field. Like you said, Linnell, like McGee. Dog, I'm sorry. Like, I understand McGee only gets in when we have a three linebacker set, but dog, put him in with the two linebacker set. I don't want to see Louisville in the middle of the field no more. Put him out on the edge, dog. Yeah. You know, put him at DN. I want to see McGee in that middle of the field and see what he could do, because he runs sideline to sideline and he hits and he makes tackles. He makes tackles and he reads the gaps. And then I don't know if y'all paid attention, but C-Rod wasn't—he didn't get his totes in the fourth quarter.
Oh my God, it was terrible! They stopped giving him the ball in the third quarter. He was the best running back on the roster. Yeah, he's been the best running back this whole season. It feels like from a consistency.
I don't know what it is, but I don't know who.
Maul, we appreciate it, man. We got a lot of other calls we got to get to. One slight pushback I would give with his CVS receipts examples. The Connerly thing would be the one thing where I'm like, that's pretty normal. You draft a tackle and then you say, hey, we're going to move you. Joe Wall was like that in San Diego, Los Angeles. Great left tackle. They already had one, still wanted him. They just moved him to right tackle. So that's pretty normal. Everything else he said is pretty accurate, though. So you know what I'm looking at right now? I pulled up the box score from that Patriots game. There's a lot of names that played in that game that are still playing.
Yeah, I mean, you got outscored 109-38 in the preseason.
Not good.
109-38.
And didn't throw the ball with your starting quarterback a single time because the guys could not get open.
So, yeah, I mean, anyone that's surprised that the depth is not paying off, I mean, did you watch the preseason? It's frustrating because I get where a lot of the Adam Peters stuff comes from in terms of the blame and so on and so forth. I think the best way to put it, if you're frustrated with Adam Peters, I think the best way to put it is like he didn't do his best job of trying to put the best roster possible together.
It felt like he didn't know what the plan was, which is a little alarming because he is the one creating the plan. He didn't know if they wanted to still work on retooling the roster and this recalibration thing that the bill of goods that they sold us, or if they wanted to go all in on Jaden's contract. And the problem with not understanding what you wanted to do is then you then build an old roster with a bunch of one-year deals of guys that you don't know can actually play.
I know what they didn't want to do. They didn't want to spend money. They were not in on any of the marquee free agents. Dude, you know how much it ticks me off? Talanoa Hufanga is playing safety better than anybody in football right now. You have ties to him.
A direct
Dre
tie.
Dre Greenlaw is in Denver cooking.
Direct tie.
Don't get me started with the lack of spending money because I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, here's the thing. In fairness to Adam Peters, there's only 21 owners that can contribute to the amount of cash that you can spend. There's 21 of them. And they couldn't spend money.
And I'm not saying you build your team through free agency. But you got to go get
supplement.
Some. You need some blue chip players. Where are the marquee talent on the team? It doesn't exist.
I mean, they've literally
especially
signed,
not on defense.
When it comes to free agents, you know, if I'm missing somebody, let me know. They signed three guys to a multi-year deal: Dorrance, Louvu, and then Javon Kinlaw. And there's been like a few other guys that got a 2-year deal. But like a 2-year deal is not like, yeah, technically it's multiple years, but it's really not because you basically reassess it after the first year.
We're doing this bit of, and I keep saying it on social media because the coaches have drummed this up and they've created this propaganda. You're not going to tell me the loss of Will Harris is some earth-shattering development. You're not going to. Jeremy Chinn's the better football player, people. Like, what are we watching? You watched him for 17 weeks last year knock people's face off. And I'm supposed to believe that Will Harris being out.
And Will Harris had one good game against a bad Giants team that was quarterbacked by Russell Wilson, who's a bad quarterback. Let's take a few more of these. Tim is in College Park. Tim, what's
up? I'm frustrated already.
Yeah, so my take was the whole C-Rod take. with not giving him the ball in the fourth. I don't understand that. The last caller was correct. But I do think you guys are really kind of like underplaying the fact that we have a lot of injuries. Like, we have no offensive players because they're all injured. Like, Terry was supposed to be our number one. He's our Jamar Chase. He's our Justin Jefferson. Like, we paid him like that. And he hasn't played pretty much at all this season. So I just, you know, I'm not mad at Adam Peters, but I am mad at Cliff not utilizing Chris Rodriguez, who's a great player, and relying on Bill because Bill had that one good game. Like, coaching, at this point, you got to play with what you have. And
he's
not
theirs.
Using McGee is a great, yeah, not using McGee is a great point. Like the last caller said, and like you guys said, at this point, I just think they're not using the pieces that we have left to be competitive. Because how do you take the ball out of Chris Rodriguez's hand in the fourth quarter? We literally could have scored on that drive. They tried to give it to him on third. They just randomly threw him in there, third and goal, and he got stuffed because everybody knew who the ball was going to, because why would you have not given it to him that whole drive? That whole drive, they did not give him the ball until that third down, which made no sense. But long story short, we got to utilize the pieces that we have here and get the people on the field. Bobby Wagner, you got to play less snaps. It's okay. You had a great career. Put in McGee. And because they're not making those decisions, that's why I think they're incompetent, and that's why I think we're going to end up having even a worse season. Not a worse season, but probably not win another game. Christmas is what I'm looking forward to, but if we get slaughtered on Netflix, 59-0 to the Cowboys.
I may 59-0? Holy cow.
Hopefully, hey, listen, Tim, we appreciate it.
Jaden and Terry will be playing in that 59-0. Game. Yeah, real quick.
If they're healthy, they're playing in that game.
Yeah.
100%.
And I think Chris Rodriguez, Bill is a draft pick of this team. Chris Rodriguez is not their guy. There's no look. He's got to work double time. And then when you think about the rumors that popped up last year with, you know, him having, you know, problems being in shape and things of that nature, like, there's a trust that he's got to earn back, but clearly he should have earned it by now. And then I will say this, Brandon Coleman came in yesterday and played his tail off as the extra offensive lineman. And I only bring that up because the caller said Cliff is not doing, and I agree with him. You've been dealt a difficult set of circumstances as the OC, Denton. I totally agree with your quarterback and your wideout, you know, being out. But, like, why not lean into the tight end room? Why not lean into the healthiest groups on your team and your tight end room, your offensive line, your running backs? His inability to adapt to the injuries is cost them at times this year.
Yeah.
I would say I'm more, on the whole, I know people are going to say what they say about the defense. I'm more disappointed in the offense this year than I am in the defense. Not even close.
Not even close. The offense has been bad. It hasn't been good.
They haven't lived up to expectations.
Anything close to expectations. It did wreck me a little bit that he said Terry was supposed to be the Jamar Chase. He's not. Like, he's our Jamar Chase, which is, that's like a dagger. At least he doesn't spit on people. So I guess that's a win. We'll get into that coming up here. We're taking more of your calls, 800-636-1067. He is Linnell Willingham. I am Denton Day. We are sitting in for B. Mitch and Finley here on this Monday, reacting to Washington's sixth loss in a row, this one in Spain at the hands of the Miami Dolphins. It's a Misery Monday on The Fan, presented by Chenigo Mayos, a 2025 Top Workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's a Misery Monday on B. Mitch and Finley. Denton Day and Linnell Willingham sitting in for the fellas as they travel back from Spain. We're taking your phone calls. Who are you pointing the finger at for the now sixth loss in a row for Washington. They're 3-8 on the year after falling to the Dolphins in overtime in Spain. Elijah is in D.C. Elijah, you're on the Fan.
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call, man. I feel like this is on Adam Peters. Now, he has to have contact with this because I think they shook the tree last year and they shook out a new stadium, and there's so many things that went down that you have to, like, give a nod to. And I just think he just didn't have an opportunity to retool this team. And that's very important to properly retool this team. And I think they did pretty good last year, but it's still they needed more. Debo wasn't supposed to be the focal point, but they lost their number one. You know, your number two is not there. And, you know, at this point, I think bringing Jaden in is only to make, you know, the fans and everybody feel better going into the off season, which for me isn't good enough. You know, and if I'm the coach, I'm not putting them out there to make people feel good in this moment. The record is what it is. Give him properly what he needs. You know, we got Zach Ertz slipping, and there's too many unknown variables that I can't have my number one quarterback trotting out there in this much uncertainty. So they just have to be careful in this moment of what they have to show or what they think they have to show everybody.
So
your bloomers are out here at this point. So you don't have to try to reel this back in and say, hey, guys, we still have this. That's not why you bought this guy in. It's like it can't be about some off-the-field things, or it can't be about trying to convince the locker room. And that's like, even no offense, if you hired all the callers listening in and now Jaden's supposed to lead us, those NFL guys, I'm not comparing us to them, but just for my analogy, you can't just wheel things don't work like that.
Elijah, you're one of our most astute callers. You're my man. I've never disagreed with you more. It's not just you that feels this way, and I think it's a healthy conversation to have because I do genuinely see both sides of the coin. There's this risk factor, Elijah. If you play him and then he gets hurt and can't have a fully healthy offseason, I'm just of the mindset of, like, what has he proven at this point? He is a second-year quarterback. He's got to play. He's got to play. There are the reason he looked the way he looked in the short time that we've seen him, I felt like was because of a lack of time on task. And this idea and this notion that I'm not playing him because of who's at wide receiver, like, are we kidding?
So you and I have the same stance but are coming at it from very different angles.
Yeah.
My angle is not what has he proven. He got the NFC Championship game. He's proven a lot. I want to see him play because I want him to get in rhythm. And so the time on task thing is kind of where we meet. I just want to see Jaden get into rhythm, because you only get better at playing football by playing football. And you're going to need to learn how to work through some sort of adversity and how to learn to protect yourself. If you just keep him away from football, that's going to do, to me, more harm than it is good.
Because look,
I just want to see him be consistent.
If you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Exactly.
That's how I look.
And at the very least, I just don't want him to be stale while he's watching, like, Drake May have an MVP-caliber season. Caleb Williams is still struggling with Chicago. They just have an easy schedule up to this point. I just want to see Jaden get into a rhythm. So honestly, the perfect scenario for me is that Jaden gets into a rhythm, he looks really good, and they still lose games because the defense is bad, and they still got a high draft pick, but we feel way better about him because he closed the season out with no injuries, balled out. Him and Terry played really well together. And then, for the love of God, can I just see Terry and Debo play like more than three games with one another? Like, please and thank you. Is that too much to ask for even this late in the season?
I don't get the conversation, though, of him not playing. I think it's total nonsense.
I mean, Dan Snyder is somewhere in the Mediterranean with like a voodoo W that he's just like jabbing and poking holes into. Because it's not like one person, you know, everyone's getting the voodoo action here, but he's just like poking away at that W. It's Dan Snyder's fault. I firmly believe that. Michael is in D.C. Michael, what's up?
What's up, Mike?
All right, we'll throw Michael back on hold and see if he is still there. Let's go to Ronald in Waldorf. Ronald, what's up?
What's up, Ronald?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
All right, good. I got one play in my mind that just irritates me to no end. We know what we got on the sideline as far as the kicker is concerned. From 50 yards out, this guy is garbage. He's zero. I cannot understand for the life of me why on third down, instead of just going for 6 or 7 yards to make the kick a little easier, They throw the ball like it's Terry on the field. That's not Terry. That's a practice player that's running down the sideline. It took a perfect throw and a perfect catch for that play to succeed. I think they just gave it away at that point. They telling me that they assumed that this kicker is good from 56 to 57 yards. That made absolutely no sense to me. That's my take, gentlemen, and I'm through.
Ronald, I appreciate it. I think all of us knew when they lined up. Yay from 56, it was no good. The deep shot,
you know,
that's the quarterback.
You know what got me? For Cliff, who has a personality disorder when it comes to running the football, for you to run the ball with 57 seconds left at the Miami 40, I was like, what the hell are you doing, Cliff?
I know.
This is not the time for a token run.
With no timeouts.
Like, with no time. Like, what are we thinking?
Because
here?
They never have timeouts. And you know, someone had put this in our chat on YouTube. If you're not watching us on Monumental, you can also watch us on YouTube. Somebody put in the chat on YouTube that they got the timeout. They wasted timeout because of a late substitution. That's like the sixth week in a row where they've had a late substitution that has cost them a timeout. Someone's going to eventually need to learn that you can't do that. The other team gets an opportunity to substitute if you are going to substitute. That's like that is a coaching and a discipline thing. That's why we get so upset at the timeout usage. It's not like we don't know what the cause is. We know what the cause is. It's a fixable cause, and they are not fixing the cause.
No, they're not. It's honestly pretty frustrating.
It's very frustrating because Dan Quinn should theoretically know better than this. And that is on the head coach.
And I will say this, even like the defense was better yesterday. But, like, I don't think they were that much better.
I did.
I also think it has something to do with the opponent that you were playing. Miami could have run the ball every single time.
I thought they were noticeably better.
They had a couple of goal line stops. The goal line stops were inspired.
Goal line stops. Good blitzes from Dan Quinn. Because we've been asking Joe Witt to blitz significantly more. And his answer or his retort was always, I am. And we're like, well, you're clearly not the best way.
I don't think they execute blitzes well.
But they did yesterday. That's the thing. Like, they executed
Jonathan Jones
the blitzes.
Did, yeah.
Jonathan Jones did. I thought the execution of defense was significantly better. And I don't know if that's just Quinn having a better instinctual way of calling a defense or what. Maybe guys are just playing with their tail on fire because they were in Spain. I have no idea. But the defense, I thought, looked significantly better. Let's go to Carlos in Alexandria. Carlos, what's up, man?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I want to make one quick follow-up point on what you made and then my main point. And that is Daniels has to play for another reason. I equate him and anybody that has horrific injuries like that to pitchers, major league pitchers coming back from Tommy John. There's a psychological thing. He has to get back in the flow, and that's one of the reasons why I think he needs to play right away. But I want to make a larger point here is that you talked about the 2024 draft and it being the worst around this quarterback of any team in the league. Well, take a look at the Vikings. Look, their 2024 draft was equally horrific beyond J.J. McCarthy, and even with J.J. McCarthy, it might be in that category.
I think what we were saying is the supporting cast of the guys that were drafted in 24 is significantly better.
The Vikings are in the same. You said it. There was no comparison. There is a comparison. The Vikings
have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson.
No, I thought you were talking about the 2024 draft.
Not who they drafted in addition to Jade. No.
I'm saying it was more so the
his
guys
cast
not
of characters
stepping up.
Yeah.
There's no help. It feels like
none.
Which
is honestly, it's not like they're spending it on the defense. It's not like they spend. Don't get me started with the roster construction thing, because this is the bye week, and it's the appropriate time to start talking about it, and there are some questions.
We'll take some more of your phone calls. Fred Smoot is going to join us in a little over an hour at 1 p.m. It is a Misery Monday on Beamish and Finley with Denton Day and Linnell Willingham sitting in on 106.7 The Fan. We are presented by Chenega Mayos, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.